Now, if we can have the first slide up, please, Jonathan. Does anybody have a birthday? Ah, Owen! And it's a special one, isn't it?
Yeah.
18 today. Well, happy birthday to you, Owen. Any other birthdays? Abby Wu! When is... Have you got a birthday, have you? No. When is that? Tuesday, okay. And how old are you going to be? 8, okay. Well, so if you will indulge me with Abigail, perhaps we could sing happy birthday to Owen and Abigail. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Owen and Abigail. Happy birthday to you. Great, and we'll do the bumps afterwards. Owen, we have actually got you a gift. If we can have the next slide up, please, Jonathan. Some of us have signed this card, so you might like to collect further autographs after the service. And we've got you this gift, which is a very generous gift. It's absolutely excellent. You will really enjoy this. Who could possibly guess what this could be? Joe thinks it might be chocolate. Do you think, is that what you were going to say, Matthew? Is it? Yeah. It's chocolate. A £1 bar of dairy milk from the village shop. I thought that would be fantastic. Owen would like that. If you ask him, he might share it with you afterwards. But the thing is, Owen, that I'm afraid you've got to buy this gift. Okay. Sorry about that. And to you, it's £10. Okay. Have you got any money? Well, perhaps come and see me afterwards. Okay. Well, if you've got your bookmark in your Bible, turn back to Isaiah 55 and contrast this present, this gift, this invitation. It's not really a gift if you've got to pay for it, is it? The whole idea of a gift is that it's freely given to you. And you can see a free invitation in verse 1, an offer of a gift. Come, all you who are thirsty. Now, he doesn't mean that literally. He's talking spiritually there. He would say, well, all of us are thirsty on the inside, thirsty spiritually, thirsty ultimately for God. Come to the waters. What happens if you don't have anything to drink, no water? Abby? You die, don't you? Water is absolutely essential. So he's offering us here a free gift which is essential, which we need for life. All you who have no money, like you, Owen, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. So it's water, it's essential, but it's wine and milk too. So it's something lavish and generous. It's more than the bare essentials for life. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Here is a really free gift. The pub and the village shop wouldn't last very long, would they, if they operated on this policy. Come buy without money and without cost. But it's a strange thing to say, isn't it? Buy without cost. How can you buy without cost? In fact, when we think about it, what God is offering is a very costly gift. And perhaps the reason that it's free to us is that Jesus has already paid the price. Let's have the next slide up, please. If you turn back just one page in the book of Isaiah, the prophet has already spoken about this, looking forward to the Lord Jesus and the way in which he would pay the price for sin for all those who would put their trust in him. So this is Isaiah 53, verse 4, speaking of the Lord Jesus. Surely he, Jesus, took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity, the sin of us all. Yes, this is a very costly gift, but Jesus has paid the price in full for all those who would put their trust in him. So that to us it's a free gift which God offers us graciously, without money and without cost. Now look at verse 2 of chapter 53. Isaiah says this: "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy?" Let's have the next slide up. Who fancies a burger? I could manage something, I suppose, yes. I chose this burger because it was the most unattractive looking picture of a burger I could find on the internet. It's not a great example of the craft, is it? I have to say there were some extremely mouth-watering pictures of burgers on Google Images. I felt really quite hungry as I prepared this talk. So I like a burger as much as the next person, but it wouldn't really be very good, would it? Burgers for every meal, that wouldn't be very good for you, wouldn't be very satisfying. And the Bible says that we are often like that. We're people who go for really manky, horrible burgers when we could have something so much better. A famous man called Augustine once said this in a prayer. He said, "Lord, you made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." We're made for friendship with God, to live as his children. And there's this kind of hole or void within us, this thirst that can only really be satisfied with God. We try to satisfy ourselves with other things so often, but they can't really satisfy. So football and PlayStation and TV and work and money and relationships and distraction and entertainment and food and drink, all these things are very good things, but they're not the things to live for. They're not the ultimate. And life goes wrong if we take God's good gifts and make them the first and only thing, if we live for them without living for God. It's like trying to live constantly on a diet of manky beef burgers, which we're not designed for, when there is so much more. We're made for friendship with God, to live as his children. "Why do you spend your money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare." Let's have the next slide up, Jonathan. This looks rather better, doesn't it? God is offering us a wonderful, wonderful feast. Water and wine and milk and the richest of fare. Delight and satisfaction in God himself, which allows us to rejoice in all God's good gifts to us too. So we go for God and we get football and PlayStation and telly all thrown in too. What is this feast? Well, it is to come to God himself and to hear his word. I hope you saw that in verse 2. It's repeated a lot, isn't it? Listen, listen to me. Verse 3, give ear to me and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. Let's have the next slide up. The feast is God himself and his word, the good news about Jesus. It's by listening to God, trusting in Jesus, living in the light of his word, that our hearts and souls can be truly satisfied. Isaiah points us to the promises of the Lord Jesus in verses 3 to 5, that second half of verse 5. He says, "I will make an everlasting covenant, an agreement which will go on forever. My faithful love promised to David." So he looks back here to the promises made centuries before to great King David, who'd defeated God's enemies and given them peace and blessing in the land. And he looks forward to great King David's greater son, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the rescuer king, who was like David, only better, Next slide, please, Jonathan. The one who would bring God's blessings to all the nations. And God has kept that promise. The good news of the Lord Jesus has gone out into all the world so that any who put their trust in him can know forgiveness and life and salvation and blessing, satisfaction in God. Now, next one, please. If you get an invite to a birthday party and it has this on it, what does that mean? RSVP. Responde to the play, that's right. French! And what does that mean?
I'm coming.
So, are you coming?
I'm coming or I'm not coming,
yeah. Yeah, how would you translate responde to the play? Reply, please. Yes, please respond. Please reply. And here in the Bible is an invitation which requires a response, a gift which we have to receive. And look again at verses 6 and 7, and you can see what that response is. Seek the Lord while he may be found. That implies that it won't always be possible to respond to this invitation, doesn't it? Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. So this passage is calling on us to make a U-turn, to recognise that living without God, we're going the wrong way and we're heading for disaster. We're living a way that can never really satisfy. So the Bible is saying, turn from all that you know to be wrong and turn to the Lord Jesus. Do a U-turn and about turn and live for him. Seek him, trust in him, live for him. Because that is the way to life. Here is a really free gift which cost the Lord Jesus everything, but which is free to us. Let us turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on us, and to our God he will freely pardon. Well, may God give us grace today to turn again to the Lord Jesus, to find our satisfaction and delight in him, and to live for him in the light of his word, for his name's sake. Amen.